Oh no. Oh no. No, no, no,
None of this is
no.
relevant to his answer.
Ben! Why did you ruin this? It was a leak of Chris's, and now you start to come in.
I hope I'm
Damn it!
recording
Are you
this.
familiar with the show at all? We go in ruined. Well, it's either me or Mickey that was gonna do it, so.
Or Paladin. I mean,
Oh, yes.
it is kind of what I do.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it's better though that she called out Ken ruining everything because I can use that for a cold start and Gigabeetle will be mighty entertained.
Well,
I
so long as
I think we
Gigabeetle.
would count Gigabeetle as an honorary Chris.
I thought you liked Gigabeetle.
Hi, Gigabeetle.
This is Superhero Time with XV.
Hi.
Hey, Mickey.
4-2-3-1.
Paladin.
Well, by the math, it would have to be, wouldn't it?
Ken.
Is that hobo? Hobo? Hobo?
Oh.
No mo.
And Fort Max.
Doctor, Grandpa. He's a doctor, you know.
With special guest.
Also, Ken, you're a butt.
This week on Superhero Time, we have no Dino Charge because life sucks.
Because Saban and Nickelodeon, then. Yeah.
But we do have Ninja because life sucks.
Yeah, there is that. We also have Christina back to visit with us this week. And she's not even replacing
Hello.
Anybody who's absent this time. It's amazing.
No,
so I missed last
I'm
week.
Not
Are
as
we
special
not?
As Gigabeetle who has to be. God damn it, Ken!
Well,
we
may not have the real Gigabeetle, but we certainly have Gigabeetle's spirit here with us.
Mm-hmm.
Gigabeetle type F.
So, Ken,
no,
you were saying you missed last
F?
week's show.
What's that?
Ken, you said you missed last week's show?
I did.
Were you going to expand on that any, or...
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
You're the worst.
Are we not liking the ninja now?
Were we ever?
Well, I don't
yeah,
think...
I think it's not terrible.
I don't think we're to the
I'll rest
drive...
my case.
I don't think we're to the point of drive on it, but, you know... Next week.
I'm still enjoying it.
I'm approaching the point of wizard.
Nah.
Which is, what, episode 8?
Yeah, something like that.
Nah, I like
but
that.
You
still,
said you're...
They can still turn around, but these early episodes are not good.
You said you were going to hold out for Star Ninja, though, so...
Yeah, I am. I'm going to hold out.
I really like this. It's episode 5 we're doing this week, right?
Yeah.
Because the next thing is a crossover.
Right.
I like this week's episode, but we'll get to that. Actually, and the bad thing is, I've actually kind of skimmed over the Raw for the crossover, and there are actually some things in there I was kind of amused by. So, you know,
it's written by Riku Sanjo, so that's a pretty big warning flag.
It is, but
precisely.
I watched it. Broadcast live, and well, we'll talk about that next week, but anyway. Christina, hi, thanks for joining us at your own request.
Yes.
You know what? Never mind. So, Paladin, what's in the news this week?
Well, I hope everyone takes the time to enjoy Dino Charge this weekend because episode 8 is the last one before the hiatus.
No! I knew it.
See you
and according
in
to the
October.
Summaries we have, episode 8 is the first of a 3-part storyline, too.
Oh, my God. Good job,
so
Nickelodeon.
Is that for the next Zord?
It's part of the story that will introduce the Gold Ranger.
Oh, Gold Ranger. Okay, gotcha.
Remember when, with Mighty Morphin G2, when they took a couple months break in the middle of the Green Ranger arc?
Vaguely. To be fair, that was 5 years ago, and I don't remember much of last week.
Yeah. Oh, that's just great. So, we're going to introduce the Gold Ranger. No. Find out in the next few months.
Find out half a year from now.
Well, that's the thing. In October, when the show comes back, all the toys will be out, so it'll coincide better.
And the toys will still be out because no one would have bought them because nobody knows who the hell he is.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I just want Bandai Japan to take Bandai America aside and say, hey, listen, y'all are doing this show all stupid-like. It really helps you move product if you coincide your commercial come on the same time as a toy.
Exactly.
Yeah,
precisely.
Yeah, we should have Hankylo's stores by now, damn it.
That's marketing 101. Make sure your product is coinciding with what you're performing.
Bandai has that stuff down to an art form too in Japan. So,
but that's Japan.
Yeah, but even still, it's kind of almost a little pathetic.
Bandai America is Bandai Japan's like slow cousin that you just don't really acknowledge unless you're in a family gathering and you just have that one conversation until you awkwardly just walk away.
That's kind of like how every Bandai is to every other Bandai.
No, that's very true.
Yeah.
That's very true. I don't know if it's still quite the same way, but back in the old days, I say old days when, you know, maybe 10 years ago, basically Bandai America was run out of Bandai Japan headquarters and was expected to operate like they were in the Japanese market for the most part. Which is why a lot of things they did that weren't Power Rangers fell flat on their ass.
Right.
Because the home office had no concept of why don't kids want this? Kids here want this. What are you doing wrong when you're selling this?
Well, that's Japanese. It's like anime companies in Japan too, where it's like, you know, when Toei tried to put anime out themselves, and they released these really crappy, overpriced DVDs that had bad quality and, you know, a couple episodes per disc. And it's like, well, why did this not sell when it fell through and they were out of that market in like, you know, 2 months?
Mm-hmm.
Or where Aniplex does, although people actually buy that stuff now, so. Because they have no other choice.
Yeah.
Of course they don't have any other choice.
So $600 Gurren Lagann box set, or, you know, $50 Kill la Kill releases, or something like that. So, yeah, that still happens.
Or when Sunrise, Sunrise licensed, Gundam stuff, they insisted on, okay, yeah, you have to put out the original series as well and air it.
Yes, to Bandai Entertainment.
And why are people watching this thing from 1979?
So they had this big, huge surge of popularity with Gundam Wing in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cartoon Network's like, okay, you know, Cartoon Network and Bandai America are like, okay, well, let's move on. We have to release the original Gundam. And don't get me wrong, I love the original Gundam, but kids are not going to love the original Gundam. I was like, you know, 17 at the time. I was, you know, older, but, you know, that's not who they were marketing to. No, because original Gundam is actually really good. But regardless,
see, you guys were lucky to have the original Gundam, even though like a bunch of Canadian actors have dubbed it, and yet it was never broadcast here. We only had Wing, and then we got Seed, unfortunately, as a result.
You.
So sorry.
We had no access to G whatsoever.
That's sad.
Did you get Gundam Seed Destiny?
We got Destiny 2.
Oh god, we didn't even get Destiny.
you guys were lucky. See, any Gundam that like is not well liked by Americans, it will go to Canada. So we unfortunately suffer.
Then why didn't you get Mobile Suit Gundam?
We got SD Gundam instead.
But people like that. That's a good show.
But it was good that we got the original Gundam, but it also shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah.
Now, if they followed up Wing with X, or, you know, maybe even G, it might have turned out a little bit better.
If they followed Wing with G Gundam, it would have been a lot better.
Yeah,
G or X. Either one of those would have been fine.
Well, G is the only other one that they showed at during the daytime. Because
Mobile Suit Gundam for the first, like, 35 episodes they did show during the daytime. Then they stopped showing it all together, and then...
After 9/11.
And then at midnight one night,
That was really their excuse as a, okay, this is finally... okay, we can make this bullshit reason and we can finally stop showing this thing that no one's watching.
And it was a bullshit reason because they were still showing 08th MS Team at night, which was much, you know, more realistic in terms of, you know...
There was a lot more planes flying in the buildings?
Well, no, I mean, there was a lot more... It's a lot more, you know, like an actual war than anything in Mobile Suit Gundam, which is...
Still pretty super robot.
It's still pretty super robot, despite what Tomino wanted.
Speaking of which, I hear the other Gundam series that ended just recently kind of was a Gundam series that ran 25 episodes.
Yeah, I haven't watched it's coming on the YouTube channel now, but I haven't watched G-Reco yet. I was too distracted with Build Fighters.
Probably the better choice.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure
Speaking
it was a better
of
choice.
Distracting
actually.
And back on Dino Charge. Coda just posted this picture.
Oh, is this? I think
oh,
I
yeah,
saw
so
that
I
one.
Think I saw
just
that
now, okay,
minutes
now,
ago.
Aside from the obvious reason of me wanting to talk about this.
Okay.
What the hell is
I don't
going
blame
on? With,
you.
What is wrong with Chase's abs? They're malformed.
Well, he have like 9 of them or something.
Well, no, like okay, you know, yeah. They're supposed to, like a 6-pack. He's got, like, a weird extra cluster in the corner there. What is that?
Maybe he got kicked by a kangaroo.
Let's go with that.
Maybe he's a marsupial. Maybe that's his Joey sticking out. Ouch.
No, I think that'd be a little bit lower on the anatomy.
No, seriously, what the hell is that? That's weird.
I have no idea. Is that, like, an extra, like, rib that somehow got misplaced?
So, he has, like, a 7-pack?
Well, you can't see the other side, also. I mean, it might even out.
So, yeah, okay. I would presume this is why, while we've seen Coda and, what's name? Red.
Tyler.
Why we've seen both of them with their shirts off in the show, but not Chase yet.
There's a good reason why, because no one has to, because it's going to be very hard to explain to kids. Now, you see, kids, he has some sort of weird 7-pack thing going on, and that even we medical experts cannot explain.
It's like how for the whole first year of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, you never actually saw Walter Jones's left hand.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Since not all of it was there.
So is this the new left hand? The weird 7th ab?
Yes, the 7th ab is the new left hand. And little known fact, when you use the 7th ab, it feels like someone else.
Maybe that 7th ab is Walter Jones's missing finger.
I can just, right now I just picture Paladin sitting there with his head in his hands, just like at a complete loss for what he's been doing with his life for the last 5 years.
No longer than 5, to be honest.
At least we're honest.
True.
We are honest.
Yeah. So, anyway, yeah, Dino Charge is going away for several months, as is their custom.
And we are all very, very sad.
Which is unusual, to be honest.
Yes,
usually,
it is.
Like, for the last 4 years, we've just taken these instances and looked at them as a sort of jokes.
Yeah, we just point and laugh at it, and now we're just like, oh, you bastards!
Yep, pretty much.
They're going to cancel the show before they air the rest of it.
Shut your mouth!
Although, speaking of people
who
are posting...
Oh, it'll show up on Nick Online.
Yeah.
Shush!
Well, I can get them very easily off of Nick's website. I'm fancy.
Introvert.
Okay. So speaking of Dino Charge, also somebody was posting on Twitter or retweeting photos from them shooting the next season already.
Oh,
right. They'll I think midway through Supercharge right now.
Cool.
So that's a thing that's going on, and it's totally just the core group with Gold.
So are we going to see Gold shirtless in the future?
Have we seen who's playing Gold yet, or?
It's not confirmed yet, no.
Okay. I just hope he doesn't have a seventh ab.
What if he has? Heck. What if he has one?
He has vestigial wings.
He has a tail. So, Paladin, what else is in the news this week?
Well, we did get several magazine images of Star Ninja, and they all look pretty good.
Yeah. The only thing I don't like about these pictures is, like, if you look at the ones where he's riding on the bull ATV thing.
The bison buggy.
Whatever. When you look at those pictures, it, like, totally destroys any sense of scale. Because, you know, it just looks like riding on a normal four-wheeler.
It'll probably look better when you see it in the show there.
Hopefully.
And you won't have to wait too long for him to be introduced either. He's appearing in episode 9 on April 25th.
Oh, good.
So, like, so they're going straight from the crossover to the Password Rangers to...
No, I think there's a week between the Drive crossover and the Ninjas.
There's an episode,
very much.
But it looks like it's a plot episode too. So they're not.
I'm just saying, like, it's not going from one thing to the other, and then
right. Well, I mean, is that they're not really letting things like settle or linger.
Yeah, which is probably good in the long run.
Which I kind of like, but we'll get to that.
And also, other scans showed that. Hurricane Red and Ninja Red are going to be out of suit also.
Yay!
That's really awesome.
And there's Aqua Ranger as well.
Well, 40 years, sweet. He's got it there.
Yeah.
What about Aqua Red?
Well, Aqua Red's, quote unquote,
dead.
Supposedly.
Right? Only in the Gokaiger universe.
Yeah, but even in the Gokaiger universe, they never showed Aqua Red come back, technically.
No, but remember, as long as the spirit of Red Warriors lives on, so does Aqua Red.
Spirit of Red Warriors, we're talking about the newest Red, Taka. Come on. I think that spirit's sort of dissipating within each Red Ranger.
No. He's totally got the spirit in him of, like, many past Reds before him.
He does.
The problem is they're all condensed into one person, and it's terrible.
I kind of like the hope that, you know, it's like Aqua Ranger showing up is like, you two need to whip him into shape.
you two need to, like, Skyrider him.
That'd be an awesome thing to happen in the Ninja crossover.
Well, and, like, that's the one thing, too, because, like, if nothing else comes of the Ninja crossover... I have to have Sasuke show up and just punch Takaharu in the face once. At least once.
Sasuke or Yosuke? I don't care which one.
No, Sasuke. It has to be Sasuke, and you have to be wearing the denim skirt, too.
Unfortunately, this isn't going to be a summer... This is too early to be a summer episode.
Yeah.
Well, damn, and he's dressed more reasonably.
So no denim skirt.
Damn
but it. But no, it's like, I don't... hate Takaharu as much as you apparently do, but, you know, it'd still be fun to see.
No, he's pretty goddamn terrible. I mean, he's...
No, Daigo is terrible, but we'll get to
he's
that.
Like a combination of Alata and Daigo.
The if you princess know, and everyone them, like, in the show knows that Takaharu is horrible.
That's
this
the thing. That's the difference between him and Daigo to me. And, like, everybody knows that he's horrible, and everybody treats him like he's horrible. They kind of just look at him like he's full of shit.
That's the only little bit of hope I'm still holding on to with Ninja, is that the show is presenting it that way, so maybe it's going to at least better in some way in the near future.
Right.
Okay, counterpoint, yeah. Ken. Okay, yes. All the characters recognize that he's full of shit, but the writers still treat him like he's gold. He still succeeds at everything he tries
Star
to
Ninja
do.
Until Star Ninja shows up, then...
I don't think...
Okay. So here's what I'm seeing happening. Because, you know, they've got what's-his-face with the split face over his face that they're setting up to be his rival. Yeah, the new Juzo.
Gabi.
Whatever. So, you know, Juzo. I think they're building that Guzo. I think they're building that up so that, you know, at like, you know, episode 10 or 12 or something, there's going to be the big fight between them, and that's going to be what knocks Takaharu on his ass and starts changing his direction.
Right. And see, the reason I don't think it's just the writers treating him like gold is because if it was just that, it would be like Kyoryuger, where everybody fawns over his dick.
Literally.
Literally.
Literally, yes.
Pretty much everybody was, you know, just about ready to suck Daigo off as soon as they saw him about five episodes in.
See, that's the reason why Minotaur was even a concept.
Because even the dinosaur wanted to suck him off.
See, and that's why he was why he became Minotaur.
Exactly. See, she gets it.
That literally was what it was in the show, too. I saw those episodes.
So long as they're having it so that way, you know, Fuka and Yakumo especially, and Kasumi are just kind of like side-eyeing him, and he's constantly getting bitched out by his grandfather, I think there is an intention there that it's not just to be, well, he's the best thing since sliced bread, because he obviously isn't.
And like I said, that's the one hope I'm still holding on to for Ninja, because if they don't do anything with what it looks like they're setting up, the show will be irredeemable.
Yeah. And even with the episode we'll be talking about this week, it's like, he rushes ahead, but they never would have won with just his, you know, pigheadedness.
So what were we talking about? Well, right. Yes, Fort Max, I'm aware of that, but like, where were we?
Sasuke and,
Yosuke punching
Hurricane Red.
Sasuke and denim skirts.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, he looks
denim
like
a skirt.
Denim already had a denim skirt. Red.
Isn't that a Xehanort's form?
Oh, yeah.
We've got a tactical.
I just finished denim, and now I realized it. I'm like, oh, God.
Do we want to talk about how terrible Kamen Rider Chaser looks?
Well, we don't have much else.
I do.
Can we shoot on Drive some more?
Yes.
And how much it wants to be dubbed?
So Chaser is the definition of like, you know what? Let's just not even try.
It's like okay, we're gonna take this double helmet from Fang Joker and slap some tech parts onto it, and I guess you can jump into a white bodysuit. We have some football armor over here from GoBusters. You can put that on. And there
we'll
we go.
Just strap on some purple tape.
Here's your third Kamen Rider, guys.
And there's an axe.
Who cares? No, actually, the helmet.
But compared to how detailed, and you know, actually, I do like the base designs of Drive and Mach. Compared to how they look versus him, he looks like some fourth grader in a Halloween jumpsuit.
Yeah.
It looks like a local hero you'd see passing out flyers for an electronics store.
Dude, don't insult local heroes like that. There's some...
they do have better production values.
Awesome. This guy.
No, the helmet's actually the only thing I like about the chase suit, because I like the black faceplate and orange eyes thing like Forze had.
It looks like Double's helmet. like a Double helmet. I mean, it has split
besides
colors.
Besides not having the point on top, it reminds me more of Forze than Double.
Maybe a bit.
I think the helmet looks bad. I think it looks awkward and sort of fat.
And the thing about having those split colors as well is that doesn't apply to anywhere else in the costume, so it looks really out of place, like everything else on him.
The base suit, the undersuit, needs to be purple because that's Chase's color.
Yeah. I mean... It would still look cheap then, but it might look a little bit better.
It needs to be like primarily purple, and then use silver to set it off.
The whole thing looks like an undersuit. Come on.
It does. It's an undersuit that they don't have enough armor pieces to put on because they spent all the money on fucking formula.
I mean, it looks like he's wearing fucking pajamas. I mean, God, it's bad. And it's like, I don't.
All he needs to have is an image of himself on his chest.
Yeah.
To bring out the
it's just a decoration,
cheap
80, everyone.
To bring
it's
out the cheap
decoration.
Halloween costume.
Yes. Yeah.
That's really all it's lacking. And it's
either,
like
either his own face or like the brand logo.
I don't want to rag on Drive just to rag on it, but that is just so bad. And I feel bad for anybody that actually likes the show.
Well, and the thing is, I don't think we are ragging on Drive just to rag on Drive. We've been pretty consistent in ragging on the costume design, which is terrible.
Yeah. After the base forms of Drive and Muck, they just
or even Machine Chaser.
Yeah,
Chaser. Well, Chaser like
it looks
okay,
better
so...
than this.
No, yes, no, I'm not denying that. Like, yeah, he's a mess, but like in an intentional, like he looks like, you know, Ryder Dopant crossed with an engine block.
And it's and I could see on a board in a boardroom meeting where they were like, okay, so in his Kamen Rider form, he needs to be the exact opposite of that. He needs to be something uniform, okay. And then it's like, well, we don't really have the money. We spent all the money on formula.
Okay, so.
And they'll be, and there'd be like the third guy, like, why not just read? It's like, why not just put little additions on the black Drive suit? Throws out the window.
Okay, so like, you know, last year, Gaim introduced Lemon Baron midway through because Baron was more popular than anticipated, and they could do that without spending more money on a new suit altogether. It seemed like they were going the same way here, but they couldn't put, you know, Lemon Armor on top of Machine Chaser and call it a rider.
No, I think even early on in Drive, it was always obvious. It's like, okay, he's going to be a Kamen Rider.
See, and that would make sense.
That's always the
actually...
intention.
They didn't allow for that in their budgeting as they went along. Go ahead, Christine.
No, they did not.
See, but that's why it would make sense to like add like the black Drive suit and just put like their own variation of it. You already have it; might as well put it to good use.
Or you know, not even you like yeah, you use that suit, but you change the color. You know, you paint all the solid parts of it to more match what Chase looks like.
Yeah, like a kind of a purple and black.
Exactly. You save more money this way. Instead of, like, putting whatever the hell... I understand, like, they really just wanted to... I think what the costume department and Toei said, like, we really need to get rid of all this shit because we're adding more... because we're designing more stuff later on. Might as well get rid of it. Here, that's the Chase suit. Go ahead. They really purposely want to get rid of all the extra stuff in their inventory.
It was some apprentice's project. Like, you make your own Kamen Rider suit. We'll use it in a show, we promise. 10 years later.
Like, oh, shit. We don't have anything else to use.
God, we can't throw this away unless we use it, so let's just use it and get rid of it.
Like, the only consolation is if Chase is only going to be a rider for, like, 5 episodes.
That's
and then he dies. I mean, it at least would make more sense why they didn't put any effort into the suit if it's only going to be there for a couple episodes.
Now, do we want to talk about the Tokuger V Cinema spoilers?
No, I don't want spoilers on that.
Okay, we'll leave that aside then. I am actually thankful to Token Nation for actually taking the effort to mask that because they've been bad about spoilers like that in the past.
Okay then,
Piloton.
When's that coming out though?
Sorry.
Crud! I just had it open. Just a moment here.
You're talking about your fly, aren't you?
Uh-huh. Professional. The phone call, the not having the information.
We are professional.
I
want to
say
podcast.
June, but I'm not completely sure yet.
Good job.
Here we are, June 24th.
Okay.
So it'll be coming out before the Versus Ninja movie then.
Oh, long before, because that won't be until next March.
Right.
Yep.
That's sad, then.
Why is that?
I mean, the last we'll see the Tokugers, we'll have to watch the Ninjas too.
Maybe we'll feel different about Ninja by then.
I like him just fine, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Star Ninja will be around by then.
I don't operate on maybes. I operate on the present time. If it changes, great. Right now, no.
No, but just think about, you know, Akira and Star Ninja teaming up for half of the movie.
But we don't even know what Star Ninja's personality is going to be like.
What does it matter what his personality is going to be like? He's a cowboy and he has a hamburger cell phone.
And he rides a bison.
With wheels.
And he plays a guitar.
That is also a sword and a gun.
He's the all-American.
I'm not disputing any of these things. We just don't know if
he's
actually going to be as cool as
American Ranger,
potential.
Man.
Yes, but
all-American.
As far as I can get, as far as I go...
All he needs just blades.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Sorry to share the most messed up thing.
He's the most awesome thing ever.
You'd be great if he wasn't from Japan. He was like Chinese.
Well, there's like what? An increasing Chinese population coming up, coming around in America. So it's not entirely impossible.
Star Ninja's episode should be airing on the 26th then, if he's in episode 9.
Yeah, I think that's what Paladin said earlier.
Okay.
Pay attention.
26th, sorry.
Effort.
Effort.
Yeah.
Lack of effort means no Easter eggs.
And I'm not getting those either.
Star Ninja, please save the show. Do we have any more news?
Well, we covered it before the show started, but the new Garo starts this weekend.
Yay!
This Thursday, actually. Thursday, Friday, something like that.
Saturday, now Sunday.
Just hope somebody subs it.
Days.
Overtime has already said they are. A while back. For their spring update.
With any luck, we will have that available to talk about in, you know, like 2 weeks. If we're very lucky, we'll have that to talk about next week, but I'm just counting on it.
We shall
see. Although Garo episodes typically don't have a lot of dialogue, so they could sub it fast if they get it raw fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the only stumbling point, because like, they're subbing Rider and Sentai, and then having to fit Garo in on top of that is just going to impact the scheduling.
Mm-hmm.
Who's juggling pills?
Paladin?
I don't think it's me this time.
He's not certain, though.
Fort Max?
That means there's a possibility.
It's probably Mickey.
Nope.
Okay, show
mine
of hands.
Suppositories.
Who thinks it's Mickey?
I.
Only two. We can't carry it.
Cowards.
They know better than to turn on me.
But if we drive Mickey off the show, we're doomed.
This is true.
At least if we lose Paladin or Ken, we can continue.
That's true.
No, I said Paladin or Ken, not both of them. We have to have one of them. I'm just not really choosy.
Uh-huh.
Well, Paladin's like the lesser of two evils.
Paladin,
because he carries
the
news.
Yeah, but honestly, anybody could do that.
Just go
That's
to
true.
Page.
Fort Max, you can be the news person.
He has been before.
Yeah, Fort Max, you want to be the news monkey from now on?
That would require actually having to pay attention to stuff.
That would require having to read Toku Nation, and I wouldn't wish that upon anybody.
You can read Jeff Geofusion.
I think our standards are higher than that.
Now, to be fair, I'm not endorsing reading, like, Ranger Board or Henshin Justice either, so.
I was about to list those off, though. So, okay, thank you.
What a Toku thread on TFW?
Isn't that Toku Nation?
See, now I understand why Paladin has to do the news, because it's, like, the equivalent, like, reading Toku Nation is, like, the equivalent of, like, watching the Fox News Network.
Yeah, but he worked for the Fox News Network in this case.
Like, basically, it just worked out that Paladin's messing with all that stuff anyway, so, like, he can do this without having to do anything more than he usually would.
Who's jiggling stuff?
He finds out things when we talk about it before the show and then goes off to make a post about it.
Yes, that's also true. That is also true. There's a cycle of give and take with this. Mostly, we give and Paladin takes.
Oh my.
Whether that's, you know, news leads or kicks to the nuts. We're flexible that way. So, Paladin, do we have anything else in the news this week?
I'm going to go with no.
How did I guess? Well, I guess we should probably start with Meninja this week since we don't have any Dino Charge.
Sadness.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, sadness.
Yeah, with Dino Charge, why, instead of saying there's just two seasons, why don't they call it four seasons? Because, you know, first season's ending in episode 8. Second season will start up in the fall.
Run 12 more episodes.
Yeah.
I mean, they can just treat it like it's England.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense to me. Well, no, and if you think about, like, like, USA does that a lot, too. Like, they'll get an order of 20 episodes or something and then split it across the year in two blocks, and they will just call those distinct seasons. I don't really see why they couldn't just do that with Power Rangers.
Because Nick.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. All right, Peldon, get on this episode.
Crap, I'm up for an in-injure?
Yep.
Speaking of lesser of two evils.
Well, Ken likes it, so I'm not going to let him talk about it. He talked about it forever.
Yeah, if I hate it, I would talk about it forever, too, so.
I have bigger plans for Ken, so.
Oh, fuck!
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, that.
Have known, considering.
Now, when you say bigger.
Want you to spoil what your thoughts were.
Now, Ken. You might have to prepare yourself because these guys are going to cover you up in oil.
No, he doesn't get the oil on him. He gets the oil in him.
Right. You don't, no. Like, there's a label on the bottle that says specifically only take internally. Not for topical use.
Do not operate heavy machinery.
Okay, hey, finally found it.
Ninjas.
So, a new yokai is born when one of the shurikens walks across a banner and attaches itself to a satellite dish.
Product placement.
I do find the shuriken walking kind of cute.
Yeah, yeah. They need to do that more. Like, the shurikens need to be, like, little non-speaking characters.
It should make squeaky noises when it walks, though.
Yeah.
So, the ninjas go off and find the monster handing out balloons at an amusement park.
Just silver balloons, to be honest. I mean, like, if you're gonna make a master plan, at least make it a little more festive.
And make sure you can't see the cameras in them.
No, but that's a toy tradition. You know, like all the times you see the camera in the Ranger visors.
Yeah.
Or, you know, when you have a Gold Ranger, their helmet.
Right. Sometimes their ass.
Because why not?
Or
so the yokai immediately tries to hide when the ninjas go on the attack, claiming some of them just want to live peacefully.
Right.
Which, of course, Takaharu falls for, pointing out how happy the kids look with their balloons.
Well, nobody ever claimed Takaharu was bright.
No, but he is becoming, like, more and more Peter Griffin with every episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even still, they do call him on that. He's like, you're being a little soft.
Like,
he's very easy to please.
I think in the first like two or maybe three episodes, I was relating Takaharu to Goku, especially from Dragon Ball Abridged.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we've gone past that point now.
No, I think Goku from Dragon Ball Abridged is not right.
So they decide to watch over the yokai in shifts.
Which makes sense.
Except doing things in shifts never, ever works. We'll stay awake in shifts to make sure zombies don't get us.
Nom, nom, nom.
Smash cut to everyone being asleep at the same time.
Yes, but that has not happened here.
Because they appear to be taking, like, 20-minute shifts over the course of an afternoon.
Well, you know, that seems about Sentai.
Well, they also have to cater to Takaharu's attention span.
Yes.
Although they don't quite get that right either.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
So Yakumo's upset because Kasumi was late for her shift because she had another class at the university, and she admits she's studying science because she wants to be like their grandfather. Because after all, he's communicated with aliens 30 times.
I'm not certain she knows what science is.
You know, it's great knowing that, like, Kasumi's dream is, like, working for SETI. into like that horrible moment where NASA decides, you know what, aliens are not going to come in here anytime soon. We might as well close this whole thing down.
Yeah, but I do like that she has intelligent pursuits at the same time.
But yeah, exactly. Also, like, don't aliens invade Earth every other year?
Yeah. Yes, but since
Earth has this, you know, blinder compact store, they just suddenly forget that every February. Even when they show up.
And see, that's the trick.
Everybody knows this.
That's the trick. See, their grandpa is so old that he's been around for every invasion. And he's the only person that remembers them, and he's actually talked to or encountered, you know, one of the invaders at least.
It's like when Gavin showed up in GoBusters, and they were like, wait, aliens? Because it's not like
assholes
you just...
from space.
It's not like you just...
And they completely forgot that... Five of their own team are aliens.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Or did they just teamed
okay,
up?
That noise just now. Who did that?
That was you.
No, it was not.
Was it me?
Not me.
I don't have any pills.
Is there like some mysterious force coming in just to jiggle pills whenever like things happen?
It got bored with the phantom typing from the last few weeks. Moved on to
phantom
aspirin.
We got a
phantom
pill juggler now.
Yeah, it's phantom aspirin now.
Somebody must have a hell of a headache. You're not supposed to overdose that much on, you know?
That's fine. It just bleeds out.
Oh, I know.
yeah, you would, wouldn't you?
That was too perfect. I had to.
Damn it, Tim. Damn it all.
At least the aspirin makes it not hurt, right?
Not as much as you'd think.
Aspirin, that has oil contents in it, right?
Moving on, Paladin!
So Yakumo's talking to Fuka about what their dreams should be when they're not being ninjas, and he admits that he wanted to play soccer before going off to wizard school, so he really is the second Kamen Rider wizard.
I like how Fuka gives like a typical teenage response of, well, I don't know what I want to do. I'm like 16, dude.
Which is the realistic answer.
It is.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Takaharu goes off to relieve Kasumi, who has transformed herself into a giant box.
Yes. That's quite a stretch.
It's ninjutsu.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Obviously.
And when it's red, that means she's ready.
For what?
The joke is box is also slang for pussy, Ken.
It means she's ready for something to be put in the box.
Exactly. Anyway.
So Yakumo thinks Kasumi should quit university to focus more on being a ninja.
Gets a good message from the children.
Yeah.
See, that really pissed me off entirely. Like, oh, because you had to quit your magic school, you want another member of your family to have shattered dreams so they can relate to you?
Yes, because yeah. Yakumo's a dick! I love it!
He's giving her shattered dreams.
But no, I saw a reference today. It was like, Yakumo is like a serious Sentai character in a comedic series. And that seems about accurate. Because he's trying to create this big drama... Well, we'll see how that turns out in a little bit.
So as Nagi comes up for the next shift change, he finds out Takaharu's actually started helping giving out the balloons.
God damn it. What is
I
wrong
laugh.
With you?
That was funny. I'm sorry.
This came close to being funny, but it's just more like, really? Really? You're the worst.
Like, the problem is, it came close to being funny, but it didn't actually take it far enough, which sounds strange, but it needed to have a line in there where Takaharu was like, well, he wanted to take a break, so I took over for him until he came back.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
I can see that. I'll give you that, but I did find it funny still.
I think the reason why this comes close to working is because they cut away from Takaharu, and they come back to him later on and found that he's already screwed up.
Right.
If we had to suffer through watching him befriend the monster, that would not have been funny at all.
Yeah.
See, now, learning from this, now they have to take shifts in watching Takaharu watching the monster, so that way he doesn't screw up.
Right.
It has reached that point.
Takaharu needs a full-time babysitter.
So, and the volunteer...
Okay. I got this. Takaharu is Yoko.
Okay.
Oh.
But without an Usada to keep him, you know, from killing himself.
I find Yoko endearing. That's the thing. Always
forgetting that, she eats her candy to live.
Yeah, forgetting that, like, Yoko, food is the source of life.
Yeah, also, Yoko was pretty stupid in many ways, too, where she constantly got information wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, don't get me wrong. I love Yoko, but you're right. She was dumb. I also like Takaharu, so I'm in the minority there.
The difference is that Yoko was dumb. Everybody acknowledged she was dumb, but the show did not set out to make her always be the best at everything.
Well, that's because she was the girl.
And also, Yoko's dumbness wasn't always a joke, and she got irritated when she was pointed out that she was dumb.
Point being, you can have the character be that way, but if you're also at the same time making them look like they're better than everybody else in what they're doing, that's when it doesn't work.
I'm just saying, unfortunately, Toei would probably never do that with the...
Oh, no, I agree. I agree
even
on
though,
that.
Even though I would like to see that, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, just on Yoko for one more second. It's nice that even though that her character was dumb, she wasn't a ditz.
No,
she was still a badass. She wasn't very bright.
Yeah, she was. She regular life stuff. She couldn't quite grasp.
Right,
but her actual job, she's really, really good at.
Yeah, she could not manage her own life because she was 16 and never had parents.
Right,
and was never properly schooled.
Paid into her schooling because she was trained to kill things.
Right.
Yes.
He was training. Yeah.
And that her guardian was Usada.
An asshole.
Then there was Ryuji. It was the closest thing she had to a father. But he was like 16 when that started.
Hey, fathers could start at 16.
Me too.
Let's talk about GoBusters instead.
Okay, anyway. Moving on. Paladin.
So the monster fires its satellites and projects giant images of Kibooni Gengetsu over the city.
Oh, is
this the first time we've seen his costume?
I think so.
Yeah,
we saw it in the flashbacks in the first episode when they were explaining the history.
Right,
that was obscured, wasn't it?
I thought it was.
Mostly.
I just thinking of the opening. Well, regardless.
The flashbacks probably use the same sequence from the opening, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a cool costume, though.
It's okay.
I mean, it's a little generically Japanese, but
right. That's what I was thinking too. It's generic within the theme. Like it's very ornamented, but it's really generic to the style.
Compared to the creativity we got in Tokuger, monsters in this show are a real step down in terms of vision.
Right.
The craftsmanship is there. It's just nothing new.
Yeah,
why isn't Kibooni Gengetsu an anthropomorphized recliner?
Designers shift between series, and unfortunately, they can't keep everybody on the same series all the time.
Or like a salad shooter or something. Why isn't he a salad shooter on legs? I swear, Tokyuger had the best monster costume design of anything.
It did.
The table and chair monsters.
Heroin Bonky, I mean...
Anyway, Paladin. If we ever want to get through this episode.
So Kasumi's late again, but she's figured out the monster's plan, so they decide to follow him when he decides to jump away. But unfortunately, his satellite controls take control of the crap. I'm not remembering the names of the Zords. Ninja machines. Screw it.
Dragomaru and Shinobi Maru.
The red and the blue one.
Yes. Yeah, it's Dragomaru and Shinobi Maru.
The Dragon Zord and the Red Shogun Zord.
Sure.
Right. So Takaharu makes a kite out of the wood power and decides to fly over the city and shoot him down.
With the sounds of a small airplane motor constantly in the background.
You don't explain the logic of a ninja, you just accept it.
I do like the concept, though, of sticking their giant robots on the small monster.
Just were they doing that though, or did they call them out to try to deal with the images of Kibo and Igangetsu?
No, I think they were chasing after the monster.
Okay.
So by sheer luck, Takaharu hits one of the balloons and figures out that destroys the monster images.
Yes, and I do like it's not like it's some idiot savant thing. It's like no, they really called him on. It's like that was a lucky shot. Mm-hmm. Like that's good, even though it was complete luck.
So Yakumo goes over to Kasumi and points out, "Hey, Takaharu never gives up, so you don't have to give up on university either." And she points out, "That was never the plan at all."
Yeah, she's all like, "Bitch, please."
Yeah,
I know.
This is my favorite part. That's my favorite part of the episode because it's just like there was never a drama there. It was all in Yakumo's head, and she was like, "No, of course." I'm awesome. I know that. I'm going to do both of these things.
I'm sorry, wait. What are you talking about?
See, you see, Yakumo, I'm an adult.
It's literally like Yakumo is displaced in the wrong show, and he doesn't realize it.
Kind of like Kira in a way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He thinks he's in his own serious senpai. And he's really not.
Yeah, he thinks he's in like. Thinks he's in Shinkinger.
My favorite thing is like just the look on Kasumi's face when she's like, "Yeah, I know."
Are you slow?
As was once and for all proves that Kasumi is definitely the smartest member of the team.
Exactly.
Bar none.
Well, that's the thing, too.
Why
do
you
consider her
education.
Surroundings, to be totally honest?
She's the only one with an education.
Exactly. Well, yeah.
And the thing is, too, like, Takaharu has the most ninja capability shown, but Kasumi's the one who actually is best at everything, except they're not beating you over the head with it.
Which I like, because
me
it's
too.
There.
It's just, me too. It's a solid contrast in how those character types can be played. And not come across as horrible.
Both of the girls in the show, I do really enjoy.
Yeah.
I just mostly feel bad for Fuka, though, because the show kind of still shits on her.
I think that they're probably building to something there, because...
Probably, but still, it's kind of irritating at this point. Same way Takaharu is irritating, just from a different direction.
In fairness, they don't do it as much to him, but they kind of shit on Naki, too.
Well, okay, so Nagi is just
this
guy's
a yellow ranger. I forgot about that.
Right, Nagi is just a yellow, and he's getting treated like a yellow in Sentai that's not Gokaiger or GoBuster because those were kind of exceptional.
Not wrong.
Yeah.
I've been at this long enough to know my tropes, Ken.
Can't argue there.
Yeah. So anyway, Helen.
Point is, Kasumi's awesome. Go on.
Yes.
So, Kasumi built a remote control at university and uses it to play a QuickTime event and overload the monster's satellite dish.
Now, here's the thing that I was trying to figure out. I was trying to see if she was actually, like, typing something in Morse code.
No, there's no pattern.
I just feel like she weaponized Morse code.
Right, she didn't even build a remote control. All she did was build a little radio to tap out a basic signal to jam the satellite signal.
Oh my god, she has the potential to be a cyber terrorist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kasumi is amazing.
And she built the entire thing out of wood. That proves she's a ninja. She made electronics out of wood.
She's a script kitty.
Now give her more credit than that.
Wood.
Sure.
Meanwhile, Takaharu uses the Panmaru shuriken they got last time, which gives him the power of stretch arms.
Because elephants... That makes total sense.
Uh-huh. Now, if they had gotten a giraffe instead of an elephant, I could see this.
You know, much better. Like, I was expecting when he was using Panmaru, it's like, is the ball of gun going to come out?
Exactly.
See, that was the missed opportunity here. They would have had the ability to bring forth balls of dung to defeat the monster.
Yeah.
That's how you strike fear to your enemy. Oh my god. They have literal giant balls of shit coming at you.
Let's see, strike fear on the enemy and win my attention.
Okay. So in Gaim, remember, you plug the strawberry lock seed on the sword, and you slash it, and all the kunais come out. Mm-hmm. You put the elephant shuriken on that sword and swing it, and it's just this stream of shit flying. Okay, I'm better now.
Are you good?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. Thank you. I'm not fine.
Can we move on?
Is defeated, and Gabi finally catches up to Takaharu again.
Oh, not before they get another shuriken, though. Which is kind of the rest of the episode.
Because their mentality has improved again.
I guess. Yes. Somehow.
Because reasons.
Apparently stupidity is a form of mentality if it was responding to Takaharu.
But anyways, yes, Gabi.
So Takaharu just tells Gabi to wait a moment while they deal with the big monster.
Because Kyuemon saw Gabi show up and is like, okay, I'm going to interrupt your fight. Deep. Which is interesting because she was like, okay, yeah, sure, he'll show up. You can fight him then. And then she just purposefully just interjects and stops it, which is...
Kyuemon's interesting.
She is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, legitimately, Kyuemon's interesting. I like her so far.
Mm-hmm. She's obviously playing Gabi like a fiddle, but
mm-hmm.
To what end, I'm not sure.
I'm not, like, getting that. I'm just getting that from... It's her job to collect the mana, and it's the only thing she cares about.
Yeah, but
I'm not seeing anything clever about her, really.
But she has an end goal to that.
Yeah, she's purposely subverting Gabi for some reason or another.
Mm-hmm.
So the giant monster decides to fly away. So they summon Kenjin Drago once again.
I sort of think it's a situation of Gabi's not who Kyuemon wanted as the first one to revive. And she's just kind of rolling with it to arrange for him to get killed again.
I can see that.
Since he's fairly uncontrollable.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so, hey, dragon form, that's cool.
And Takara tries to summon their new ninja ally, but it just doesn't appear.
Until they get into the upper atmosphere. When suddenly, in comes a UFO.
Boredom attacks.
I like UFO Morrow.
It's terrible.
It's great.
So it's
dumb
adorable.
And lame.
It's amazing.
What does it do that's amazing?
It looks awesome. It looks so stupid.
Okay, it flies in as a UFO.
Uh-huh.
It becomes a robot that doesn't do anything. Mm-hmm. It sits in the tummy of Shuriken Zord thing, and it gives it a gun. It is the most pointless upgrade I've ever seen.
That it mostly uses to just lightly smack things.
I do agree with Mickey. Like, it honestly, like, if it has something useful into it, like, oh, you could actually shoot from space and defeat the monster.
Or
like zero gravity or something.
Or if you actually use the gun outside as a gun outside of the finisher. I mean, seriously,
As adorable as it is pretty useless.
You're saying that like Sentai doesn't do that all the time with every single gun they've ever had in anything. We're about to watch a Kyuranger movie in which they mostly use it as a club.
Okay, but the point here in this case is though, the only reason to use this upgrade is to get a gun. And they barely even use it as a gun.
They go to space and they go to the frickin' moon!
The only reason why they go to space is because they're trying to sell the UFO. I mean, otherwise, they're going to be using this on Earth.
We don't know that yet.
I just find it humorous that a satellite dish wanted to become a space satellite, and then there was a fight within a satellite. Which
Yes! I thought it was great.
I'm kind of
stop enjoying things.
Yeah, Ken, you're ruining everything with your enjoyment.
I don't even want to know what he's jiggling.
Who's jiggling what?
What?
Does it matter?
Ken, if you jiggle eggs, they're going to crack. Don't you know basic science?
That's what you need the oil for.
I'm very confused right now.
Me too, but I'm just rolling with it.
Paladin, go on, please.
So with the monster finally defeated, the grandfather watches the battle through his telescope and admits that he, in his 30 communications with aliens, he received the technology to build the ninja zords.
From UFOmaru, which I kind of liked, is that we got actual, you know, it's outlandish, but it's an explanation to how this old man has a bunch of giant robots lying around.
But he's a ninja, that's how.
Yes, but at least, but he has a ninja who has a reason that he has that technology. It's from aliens, of course.
No, he had a reason. He's a ninja. That's the reason.
Yeah, I don't see how this explanation is good or has a point to it.
Well, even the dad is like, yeah, sure.
No, and this is why the dad's kind of my favorite. If there's anything to call out on bullshit, it has to be him. While the rest of the kids are like, they have to stay with Taka, but they just like cannot pull as much of bullshit, it has to be his dad.
See, the dad needs to be more cynical and hateful towards everyone because he's the one that got screwed over and passed over for these awesome ninja powers.
I assumed he himself chose not to pursue this.
Well, either way, he's the one that should be like rolling his eyes at everything going on.
He is teaching them, though, as well, also, so he might not have been so far rolled over on it.
But he's
his character would work in the series better is if he was more antagonistic towards everyone. If he just was not on board with this nonsense. Instead, he's like, just, oh, I'm Dopey Dad, here to help. If he added some character drama, you know, in a funny way, it'd be better.
I don't disagree, but I still like him.
So with everything else taken care of, the ninjas get a chance to relax, but Takatora keeps thinking he's...
Takaharu! Do not mistake for a much better character. God.
And cue Gabby, still standing there in the same spot.
I lost my shit at that last scene. I was like,
okay, I did laugh at that.
Because Takahara's like, I feel like I forgot something. And I'm sitting there like, what did you... Then it cuts, and I'm like, oh my... And Gabby just sits down. And the episode ends. It's great. Yeah,
That's where him being stupid is funny.
Right.
And also because the villain was doing something completely ridiculous as well of just, I'm going to sit here and play. Well, he said he'd come back.
And he sits down to keep waiting for him.
Good guys don't lie, right?
This is an agreement between warriors. Of course he'll follow through.
Next week is Ninja versus Drive.
Well, no matter who, Ninja versus Drive versus Neon Ball.
The Neon Ball does come back, yes.
Yay!
As soon as I saw that, I thought of you, Fort Max.
Yeah.
So it's going to be worth watching after all?
No.
Oh. No.
Well,
yeah, the thing's not even plugged in.
No, it's not. They just film a scene in Toei's storeroom, like literally, and it's just sitting there.
That means they still have it. That means they could repair it.
Yeah, it does. It does.
I was mildly entertained by the crossover, but...
No, I think Fort Max was correct before. No matter who wins, we all lose.
Yeah, but I like Ninja, so...
But we still lose. Because Drive.
Well, not disagreeing. There is one... It's the one stupid thing in the crossover. It doesn't actually matter towards its actual quality.
Isn't that... No, I'm not going to say
that. That's Drive, isn't it?
No, it...
Is it the interrogation?
Is
it part two of people not noticing mecha battles?
See, that actually felt forced.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, yeah, okay, I see what they did there.
Yeah.
That felt a little bit forced. Also because the Roid Beads are terrible villains, and I don't give a shit. As opposed to, you know, Takatora sitting in his office, I'm completely oblivious to Tokyo right behind him.
Well, and the fact, too, like, you know, somebody's called up to his office to tell him what's going on. He's like, are you stupid?
Looks behind him, and there's nothing there.
No, see, that was great. That was great.
I do like though that they're keeping doing these, and I hope they keep doing them yearly. I would prefer them to do this yearly
if it's at a point in both series where I actually want to watch both of them at the same time.
Yeah, I would prefer if it was like further along in the Sentai than 5 episodes.
Because when Gaiman Tokyuger did this, I didn't want to watch Tokyuger. When this happened, I don't want to watch Drive, which I haven't wanted to watch Drive for like months now.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, there's been bad matchups so far, and hopefully next year is a little bit.
It seems a little strange they have not been doing them, though. I mean, since what, Decade Shinkenger?
Decade Shinkenger. I would have loved, like, you know, a Shinkenger double. That would have been good. But, alas.
Well, maybe not Shinkenger double.
Or Gokaiger and Forze.
See, Gokaiger and Forze would have made sense to a degree.
Yeah. Oh, and yeah, Gavin as well.
Throw Gavin in there. No, I'm serious. Throw Gavin in there. It would have worked if it was Kenji Oba. That's the qualifier. Kenji Oba, Gavin would have worked.
So
basically the Taizen movie, but just replace that one actor and you would have gotten something interesting.
But then you would have, unfortunately, like Go Busters and Wizard.
Keep the Go Busters, but like not like Wizard is just there.
Okay. So what you do... No, see, like... With Go Busters versus Gavin, they improved new Gavin with their presence. Like, yeah, being associated with Go Busters made that Gavin tolerable.
And
they could have done the same thing with
Wizard. Better in crossover movies, so...
Right.
That's true. That's not a wrong point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to imagine Gintaro fist-bumping Kenji Oba.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Well, and then you also have to try. You have to imagine.
And then you have to have a. And then you have a Akira Kushida cover of Forze's theme, which.
Oh shit, man! Oh shit!
Jesus Christ!
That would be
amazing.
Why did
no one make this?
Oh, damn it, Fort Max!
Things stop we talking, cannot have.
Stop talking about good things I'll never have. And see, I was just going to go with, you know, Gintaro trying to fist bump Marvelous, and you can imagine how that would go.
That would be great. He might be into that.
No. Gintaro would start, and Marvelous would just punch him in the face.
At first, at the end of the thing.
No. He'd just catch the fist and wouldn't let go. Just start twisting his arm around.
And then Marvelous would just kind of, like, twist his head the way he does, and... You know, have that look on his face.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Guitar just, you know, walks off, you know, kind of just tries to shake it off, look cool.
And I will befriend you.
As funny, if necessary. That was one of my favorite things early on in Forza. It was like, it was like, I'm going to befriend you out of spite.
or talking to a to one of the switches. I will befriend you if it's the last thing I do.
Are those gangs of people used to befriend in every week?
Yeah.
for a couple weeks anyway. I'm so sad that was not my recurring theme.
I know that really needed to come up a couple
after
more times.
I did it like twice. It was like I wanted this to like keep happening.
Mm-hmm.
Alas.
Well, I like that, too, because...
It's so funny as hell!
That was good, too, to have happen a couple times early on, because it, like, really established... Yeah, Gintaro is very capable of fighting if it comes down to it. It's not his first choice of outcomes, but he can
destroy you.
Yes, he absolutely can, and that, like, it was vaguely subtle, I guess I'll say, but it kind of helped give him credibility as...
You can tell what a person threw their fists.
Yeah, it gave him credibility as being a rider, though, because, like, it established, yeah, he knows how to fight very well if he has to.
And it did show also, like, he had a limit.
Yeah.
Even Gintaro had a limit.
Yeah. But, you know, same time, you know, next day, if any of them would have come up and been like, hey, let's be friends, Gintama would be like, cool, let's do it. Because, like, yeah, he has a limit, but he's not going to hold the grudge.
No.
We were talking about Ninja at some point, and then we stopped and started talking about...
No, we finished the episode.
So we're just kind of babbling now.
Yeah, so we should take a break, because we have other things to babble at length about, which also would be as good as talking about Forza, but, you know.
Can we talk about Forza some more instead?
Maybe if you're good.
Shit, okay.
That's a no, then.
You're listening to Superhero Time.
Now I've got the power to deal with you putties.
Space suit is your Asgard against danger. Space suit you with the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Get your hands on space shooters. Launch up to 20 soft foam bits.
Space shooters.
I win!
Get your hands on space shooters.
Timmy Pete's real brand mayonnaise.
Sorry, Ken, you want to say that again?
Shit!
Right, because power playback, sort of-ish, is, it's, Tokyuger versus Kyoryuger.
Yay!
Yay!
So, since this is a movie and it's a crossover, I've decided, Ken, Mickey, double team.
Okay, this is...
It's doubles nights.
This isn't as bad as...
Let's summarize the shit out of it.
Please, let's... Okay.
We're going to DP this review.
Question. We need to settle something first.
Oh, God.
We need to settle this one-on-one.
What?
Which one of you's Philip?
I don't...
Oh, that's a hard call, because, like... Damn.
I can't fight.
That's true. I'm
so you're
I'm
so so so
than you.
So.
At the same time, I have trouble seeing Mickey being a Shotaro.
Yeah,
I just wear like a shirt and tie.
This is true.
Hmm. You need the hat, though. That's the thing.
No, nobody needs a hat.
No.
Shotaro kind of made the hat work, though.
In fairness, those hats were not ruined until after Double was off the air.
That's true. That is very true. It was still weird, but they weren't ruined. Because nobody that young should wear a hat like that. With or without the unfortunate...
In this century.
And yet Ren Kiriyama can make it work. Somehow.
Well, that's because he's Ren Kiriyama.
Yes.
Ren Kiriyama makes a maid outfit work.
Did we see that in Double? I don't remember right now.
You didn't see it in Double, but it's out there.
In one of the dramas he did afterwards?
Yeah. It's on Crunchyroll, even.
Oh, it's that one. Okay.
We see.
I'm not going to Google that.
Why not?
I'm afraid of what other horrifying results might pop up.
Let me see if there's a full body shot.
We live in the age of the internet. I don't think anything horrifies us anymore.
Is this?
You can click that link I posted.
Here, this'll work. This works.
Oh boy. I'm not clicking on your links, Mickey. Sorry. Well.
I was expecting something much worse, to be honest.
Now, I wonder if he had the wherewithal to shave, or if he's just naturally smooth.
Is that?
Oh my. Okay, here, one more. Yeah, one more.
This shouldn't work so well, but it does. And that troubles me a lot.
I think we have our episode picture here.
Well, you know, points to Ren Kiriyama for really, you know, being able to sell any role he does.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
We have our next Green Ranger.
Anyway, movie.
Yes.
Movie, yes. Alright, so, meanwhile in space,
yes.
Lady's cruising around, about to park her train in space train station that we've never heard mentioned before, but sure, why not?
And we'll never hear mentioned again.
And the green ball of light comes out of nowhere and knocks out of the sky.
Damn,
oh no.
She doesn't die horribly or anything.
Damn you, Ryan Reynolds.
Don't besmirch the name of the Green Lantern like that.
Or Blade.
That's why specifically.
What do you mean, Blade? Reynolds. Yeah, but there are only two Blade movies.
Oh, that's right. I keep getting that wrong.
Ryan Reynolds was never in Blade. What are you talking about?
So I had the worst idea. This is off topic, but it's quick.
Okay.
Okay.
For a second there, I thought you were talking about the writer.
The Marvel Cinematic Universe is going to reboot Blade as a PG-13 movie starring Will Smith with Robert Downey Jr. guest starring as Iron Man.
I sadly see them doing that.
Yeah.
This is
by the time they get to it, it'll be Jaden Smith.
Oh, God, no.
Okay, yeah, so they reboot Blade as, like, a teenage series.
No.
Yeah.
I could see that.
No.
I could see it.
No, no, mm-hmm. no.
And they'd be romantic vampires, too.
Yeah, sparkly.
Not sparkly, but there'd still be lots of romance.
Oh, okay. Not sparkly, but maybe, like, a little shiny.
I don't think they would do...
Thank you, Zed.
Tokuger. Oh yes, back on the actual rainbow
line. The Tokugers respond to the distress call and run out to the scene of the crime, and suddenly they're attacked by a swarm of mooks who they don't recognize.
From Kyuriger.
Yeah.
And their powers have no effect on them.
Yeah, not very effective. No. But no, that's why.
I like how we got into, like, 1 minute and like, 1 minute into the movie and we already got into the action. It's, like, the exact time how a porno film starts.
Well, speaking of Kamen Rider Blade.
suddenly, Kyuriger Red and Pink show up along with the others in subsequent order. And this man.
So speaking of porno movies, yes. Kyuriger Pink starts kicking right away.
Of course, that's what she does.
On the upside, she is wearing pants.
And I don't think this is Koichi Sakamoto this time, so... Hey.
So now it's just a character trait.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
It's just how she fights, like, you know, how Nobuharu just, you know, flips stuff.
Uh-huh.
So one by one, the rest of
Kira... Or, you know, like how Akira throws his weapon away. which, give it about 20 minutes.
Yes.
So, the rest of the Kyuriger pop up one by one and take care of the mooks since the Tokugers are incapable of doing so themselves.
And they also, you know, kind of do part of their roll call and then explode in the Tokugers' faces.
Yeah, so...
that was pretty funny, actually.
Yeah.
So we're 4 minutes into it, and it's already this movie is better than everything I've seen in Ninja so far in 5 episodes.
And, like, I can't really disagree with you on the whole...
So, as the Kyuriger's are posing, the Tokugers stand there like going, oh my god, what the hell is happening? And while they're frozen with the awesomeness of this roll call, the pyro goes off and just torches the shit out of them, and they all fall over, and Tokyu Pink, bless her little heart, just falls over flat on her back.
See, this is why in a crossover movie, the first rule is never be behind one another.
Because,
you know...
And of course,
we'll get to that later.
That's why you stand 15 abreast. No matter how impractical it otherwise is.
Right. There's a reason for this. They have a pattern. We have been taught this by when the Gokaidras went to Dynaman and in RPM.
And
the explosions can be weaponized.
And sort of in Bokanger when it backfired.
Yes, now I saw that. Now I understood why they wear spandex instead of regular clothing. God, it's common sense. Spandex.
So I love that the Kyuriger's turn around and are like, oh shits, did we just do that? And Pink's like, well, it was pretty awesome. So. Which already this movie's done a lot to make the Kyuriger's a lot more likable. All it takes is a better writer.
And less offensive directing.
Yeah.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah. Anyway, Daigo looks really weird without his hair.
That's yeah. a lot better.
Yeah.
He looks
half normal.
Say pink ears, but
yeah. We get like the one time I've actually liked somebody's reaction to his "Call Me King" thing, where Carver's like, "Oh, what country?" And Mia's just like, "No, sweetie, come over here."
He's just crazy.
Yeah, but you should relate.
So, conductor brings the train on in to pick him up, and Daigo sees it.
Because he has the mentality of a 10-year-old.
Also because he's Daigo. He just does everything.
Yeah.
So Ticket informs them that it's okay for Daigo to get on too. We're going to waive the ticket rule for him.
Because he's Daigo.
Narutaki's not in this movie to give him a spare pass.
Oh, that wasn't great.
just Narutaki and Sarutaki show up again. Just randomly.
Not even any lines. Just he walked in from one side of the screen, hands him off a pass, and just walked off the other side. Not a word, not another appearance. Everybody's just like, "Wait, what?"
No. Well, it'd be better if like the Tokusers don't even react, but Daigo's just like,
"Yeah," because they've seen this before.
Come on.
I'm just gonna assume that's a cut scene.
Yeah, it's in the director's cut.
Yeah. Anyway, so Daigo mentions somebody named Dabius, and Conductor shits his pants. Almost literally. Possibly literally.
That's
also,
why the medium
Caboose
shot
wheels
happened.
In a cart full of food and gets visibly aroused that Daigo is going to eat all of her food and clean her out, which, if that's not a metaphor, I don't know what the hell is.
That cart must be part of her body.
Ew.
Oh. Oh my god.
She just like wheels around this big external box.
People eat out of it.
Yeah.
All right. Meanwhile, in the Disco Darkness Palace, Lord Zedd is being greeted by Salamaz, which apparently is a catfish themed monster. Okay.
It's a salamander, a newt.
He doesn't look like a salamander, though. I mean, I don't know if that's what he's supposed to be, but he just looks like a catfish.
He does kind of look like a catfish.
It's just blame the Chinese.
It's more of a Kyoryuger monster than a
Tokuger
monster by far. Since he's the boss guy. But yeah, he wants to, you know, because his master will resurrect in about a day or so aboard that station. That crashed. They just gotta keep, you know, the carriagers busy. So he kisses Zed's cape, which gets a adverse reaction from Zed's ass kissers.
Is this a thing, a cultural thing that I don't get, or is it just like don't touch him, period? Or is it like a specific thing, like you don't touch a cape unless you've been granted permission? Or
it's probably more like, you know. This is
Zed,
the Lord of Darkness.
Granny goodness.
You know,
I couldn't quite tell if this was just them or if there's actually a cultural thing that I wasn't aware of.
I think it's half
Zed's retainers being a little overbearing and half you're an outsider and you have no status here.
Yeah. But a cultural thing could be possible too.
Yeah.
So back on the train, Daigo's bringing them up to speed on the situation, and
it's cutting the butt out.
We'll help. No, you won't, because your powers don't fucking work.
Which you know, it makes a point.
Yeah,
and you fight like you're little kids.
Yeah, I like that. And there's just like this beat of silence, and everybody looks around uncomfortably, like, let's not tell him.
This is why I like this, because Daigo, considering he has the mentality of a child, would relate to the fact that there are children.
Yes, the thing I like about this, which we'll get to a bit later, is that Daigo basically writes them off, and this ends up with a very rare situation in which Daigo is wrong. But we'll get there, because
well,
Daigo
remember,
does...
Who, well, of course, whose name is the first in the... in this movie.
Yes, but it's still impressive because he even manages to upstage Kamen Riders in a Kamen Rider movie. So, so anyway, but he does the best thing. My favorite part from him in this movie is right here where the train is still chugging along at full speed. He walks to the door, he's like, later, opens it, and then you just see him, he jumps out of a movie, he just doesn't even jump out of a movie, he walks out of a moving train, and you see him flying past the windows, and everybody's like, oh my god, what the hell?
And they pan back, he's just standing there waving, bye!
and of course, I like Kagura's the only one drinking the Kool-Aid there, because that seems fitting. But yeah, it seems fitting, while everybody else is just kind of like,
what the hell did we just see? We saw a guy jump out of a train and lived.
He walked out of the train?
Yeah. He walked out the train and kept going.
I stop.
What would have been even better if he hadn't landed and stopped? If he just saw him keep still walking.
Okay, so where were we?
Uchi.
Yes, so Gold Ranger, whatever the hell his name is.
Utsusemimaru.
Say that again, Paladin.
Utsusemimaru is his full name.
How did you get that right?
I can't get that right for shit. I was actually trying before the show. I was like, can I say his name? No, okay, I'll just
say Uchi. You can't say that?
And then I've never had any trouble.
I don't get it either.
Utsusemimaru.
Like, and if JD was here, it'd be just, like, all over the place. But I'm surprised, Ken, I'm really surprised you can't.
I can't say his name. I have not been able to say his name ever since he was in.
What does it sound like when you try to say his name?
Then why can't you just use Uchi? That's what everyone else uses.
That's what I was using, Uchi. It's just a Utsusemimaru. I can't do it. I don't know why.
If you went higher.
Ken's breaking himself apart.
And Mickey's just breaking up.
Anyway, Shadow shows up. Clock Shadow. We get one more Tokuger monster design, which is, of course,
and good. Another Tokuger moment. Of word.
Oh yeah, where the train tracks show up, and Uchi is like, "Which side am I supposed to? Okay, I'm gonna try on this side and hope for the best." But yeah, Clock Shadow shows up, and he's very, very friendly, actually.
He makes a big deal about greetings, and he's pleased when Uchi returns the greeting wholeheartedly.
Yes, he is. But that is not too long lived as someone that Clock Shadow recognizes marches up in the form of Akira in the most overdramatic entrance I think he's ever had.
See, it's not that he came in to help. He was just walking along the train tracks hoping that the train will show up to hit him.
They're like, oh, look, there's some shadows. I like his reactions, like, Zerum! How you doing, buddy? And then Uchi is immediately gay for Akira.
Well, how could you not be? I mean, he comes in with a harmonica, for fuck's sake.
And just throws his weapon. It's like, he doesn't drop it, he just throws it.
Yeah, the fight starts, and the first thing he does is immediately discard his weapon with full force. He has never lost his weapon harder before in his life.
and you know the bad thing about that is? It impresses Uchi that he does this.
Yes.
Now, remember my statement saying that it had the opening like a porno movie? I wouldn't be surprised if it's getting towards that point.
It's going to have Blade's actor show up.
And Ryan Reynolds for the hell of it.
And Chase's seventh ab.
On the Rainbow Line, Wright and Conductor are beating the shit out of each other.
Finally.
See, this is like my favorite part of the movie. Just this fight.
Just Conductor and Wright going at it.
It's a pretty good fight. I mean,
it is actually.
Conductor does the Three Stooges eye poke.
It's like freakish especially well choreographed for what it is. It's like, he's like, we are going. He's like, no, you're not.
You say it's freakishly.
And Wright pitting one of Ticket's arms.
You say it's freakishly well choreographed, but Tokuger.
Yeah, that's true. So anyway, meanwhile, Kiryu Gold and Toki number 6 are fighting the crows off while Clock Shadow begins to sing a merry little song that Uchi gets a earful of, and the Tokugers hear a little bit of as they finally wander up, and Akira is desperately trying to get everybody the hell out of there, like, maddeningly so, because he understands what just happened. So he calls to build Russia, and they take off. But so Clock Shadow is, before he can give chase, though, he hears another sound in the woods.
Nin, 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 nin.
And we're not waiting till the end of the movie or the after the credits. No, Ninja is showing up about 15 minutes in.
I know, what the hell?
That's proving once and for all that Ninja's greatest power is throwing off pacing.
So we get a standard, you know, Sentai introduction fight for these versus movies.
Yep. Prototype introductions.
Right. But we do get one thing that is really kind of incredible, where so a Darkliner comes in, and they shrink it down to normal size,
using a power that will probably never appear in their own show.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And then they destroy it with a giant tornado, which is kind of freaking awesome.
Yeah, I kind of wish they were using that tornado in the show, because it sort of goes into the whole shuriken spinning blade thing.
They do.
The same way?
Well,
look for it next.
Not quite the same way.
I was really waiting for, like, Taka to pull off a red one from Bioman and just, like, use a flaming sword, just pierce the monster. That's it. Because... Right.
Anyway, on the Build Russia, well, apparently the Tokuger kids get a paycheck again this week, because they're suddenly kids again. As apparently the Clock Shadow's powers end up reverting people, you know, back in age. Only they heard a very, very little bit of it, so they're back to their normal forms, while Uchi is a baby.
With bad hair.
And a baby-sized... weapons on his back and everything. Meanwhile,
service, kids.
Back with the Kyrugers, inflation kink. Which does nothing to penetrate the barrier.
I can't wait to see Dino Charge use that.
And Nobuhara just winds up on his face.
The Legion of Substitute Rangers.
That describes Nobuhara pretty well, I think. Anyway, so Daigo summons Gabutera.
And once again, I'm reminded how incredible the physical costume is, for that is.
It really is.
Yeah, that's unusually advanced, I would say. For the body shape it is.
That's right. Everything else is CGI.
Well, yeah.
Japanese CGI. I'll forget that adjective there.
No way, CGI. Very specific.
Yeah.
This not doing much against the barrier either. So they get a call from Uchi, only it's Akira. And they rush to the quarry where they see... where did Akira get that baby holder?
It's Akira.
It was in the train.
Yeah.
Everything else.
Yeah.
Hey, he's worked with Dinosaur Rangers before. He knows how to do this.
Remember when he got the Build Express, he moved everything he had into it because that was his house now.
Whenever he like goes to places to die, he just likes collecting little souvenirs. Whenever he fails at finding a place to die,
which is all the time.
Yes.
He's a hoarder, anyway, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Anyway, Kid Wright makes the obvious conclusion that, okay, if our powers don't work on their stuff and your powers don't work on the Shadow Line stuff, maybe we should probably work together. And Wright's just Duncan's like, well, you're kids, and Wright's like, yeah, but we didn't change. This is what we actually are. And then Daigo's just like, Daigo just has this sudden look like a lost puppy. Is like, I'm wrong? Wait, what?
Yeah, he looks like that a lot.
Look, I know Japan's got an aging population, but this is ridiculous.
Then, of course, there's that moment there where Ian kind of sort of hits on the Tokyuger girls.
Yes, that is creepy as shit.
Oh, God, yes.
Like, Zoriander standards.
Yeah, it's like, dude, no.
I know.
I mean, what are you? Due to content restrictions beyond our control, we are unable to bring you the remainder of this sentence. We apologize for any inconvenience.
Oh!
Okay, 25.
I was about to make that joke.
So speaking of headmasters, what's up with Blue's wig?
No, it will be no.
Doesn't his hair always look like that?
Name.
No thought.
No,
I think it already looks like that.
No, I'm pretty certain this is a wig he is wearing, designed to look like his old shitty hair.
Except they don't really care about that in Versus movies. Look at Daigo. Versus hair is a thing.
I mean, unless the actor shaved his head. Like, that would be the only time.
I've seen pictures of the actor, and, his hair was kind of like that, but it's just a really bad perm from the hair department.
Probably. Yeah, it's like, they don't care about having different hairstyles in Versus movies. It's like,
not unless it's, horribly, horribly drastically different.
Yeah, Masahiro Inoue on a Sunday.
Meanwhile, in the background, Akira is petting this baby's head like a cat. He's got a little kitty baby.
Okay, Akira, I don't think it works like that. Anyway, so the villains show up, and the crows all whip out Tommy guns to try and blow everybody away, including the baby. So the Kill Rangers protect the kids. Then they transform, and they're like, because they're like, no, screw you, we're going to fight. And of course, then Akira takes Baby Uchi away because you can't have a baby on a battlefield.
Although he did go to the trouble of transforming first.
You can't have a baby in a battlefield, but you can have 10-year-olds in the battlefield.
This enters a weird thing, though, in that you see Kyoryu Pink's suit actress is really, really short. And thus, the suit actress for the kid, Tokyu number 5, is actually taller than her.
The thing is, though, Tokyo 5's suit actor is not tall either.
I think the kid suit actor for Tokyo 5 might be taller than Tokyo 5.
No, but I'm saying, I think they might have just used the same suit actor regardless because she was always short.
Maybe. It's possible.
Because, I mean, watching this, I was thinking, wait, do they actually have a kid in that suit? Because it doesn't look like...
Yeah, she's the only one that really sticks out, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I notice as well.
But again, Kyoryu Pink's suit actor is really freaking short. And it makes this whole scene kind of hilarious.
Now on a scale of Kotas, how many Kotas tall is...
It's not as obvious as an O-Ranger where you suddenly go from normal Ricky to adult stunt actor Ricky.
Okay, now, on the Kota scale, how many Kotas tall is Kyoryu Pink?
I'm thinking regular size Kota.
She's about a Kota.
I would say about 4.5 Kotas. Because a Kota's about 10 inches, right? Yeah, something like that.
Right, okay,
supposedly.
But enough of this talk about height here. The important thing here is we got a team of Child Rangers morphed. I assume this is the first time we've had all 5.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. And it's cool we got to see the kids get their own morphing sequence, which they kind of deserved for being cast as Rangers in a show and not getting
morphed. Yeah,
I imagine the kid actors kind of got a kick out of getting to do that, too.
Yeah. They had
a cute moment.
Rehire them in the future.
They are anyway.
When they're grown ups.
The problem is that they're doing the 10 years after 10 years.
No spoilers.
No, no, it's just that, like, right, you know, if this was actually done 10 years after, like, Hurricaneer was, you know, you could conceivably have these kid actors aged up and then being the Tokyo-ers.
Yeah.
That was Fort Max's point. It wasn't anything about the actual 10 years after.
Wait for the 55th anniversary. Wait for the 50th anniversary. Or 55th anniversary. Because
of Tokyo-er?
Tokyo-er,
55 years after.
So, another fun bit is that Mikey shows up again.
Yes! Because, of course,
I had completely forgotten about that in Tokyo-er.
Then he shows up, and I'm like, oh my god, they're all doomed.
Don't go wild. Don't go crazy.
That was a nice little fun bit.
Yeah.
And also, Takati and Kagura using just a chip line, and then just shooting them to death. Just the high five and yay!
Yeah, I was just, oh, just a trip line. We're not going to see Kid Kagura go completely insane. Oh, they're just shooting a point blank.
This is acceptable.
I like how, you know, the part with Daigo and Little Wright is like, Wright is just really fighting just like Wright. And it even get, like, you know, the big money shot explosion with everything exploding, going off around them. And it's like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I was impressed with the quality of the fighting given the circumstances.
Yes. Meanwhile, back at the Darkness Disco Palace, Zed is between boredom and interest, which, you know, that's
so
better.
So Zed.
That's pretty dangerous, to be honest.
It's very dangerous. So Salamance is just like, he tells Zed to shut up, which gets everybody kind of just looking right at him like, dude, the hell did you just say? And then
you hear a record scratch.
and then the best thing is, like, Zed's cape lights on fire where it was kissed before, because Salamander.
Here's how he did it. He basically wiped his whole mouth because he's covered in oil. He's fish oil.
Oh. Right. Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, okay. So he is a combination of a fish and a
okay.
And
that makes sense. That makes sense.
See,
it does work. Okay. Okay.
There we go.
Anyway, but the best thing is, like, his cape lights on fire, and he barely even reacts to it. He
acknowledges the fire, and, you know, lets
the
it go about its
job. It's fire.
Yeah, he acknowledges
shiny.
The fire, lets it go about its job, and just kind of focuses on the task at hand, which is, you know, smoldering rage at the catfish salamander.
It takes him a second to react to it, and that's so perfect. It's just like,
It looks like Disco Palace became a disco inferno.
Burn that mother down.
Oh. Yeah, Salamance lights everything
that
on fire.
That is so perfect.
Yes, it is. Salamance.
Zed's expression is like, you set my cape on fire.
I liked that cape.
Do you know how hard it is to get that much purple felt?
Well, felt is going to burn, so, you know.
Yeah, and it did.
Yeah. So anyway, Salamance lights everything on fire and then walks off, while the Tokyo-ers and Kyoryu-ers, they form the Super Highway Buster and then shove a battery into it.
And this is where I'm disappointed. I wanted something crazy to happen.
Well, it can't, though, because they're not using an imagination bullet, so...
I know, but I was hoping to see one more crazy nonsense attack.
Yeah.
Now, see, what they needed to have was Gokai Silver come cruising through and conjure up an imagination battery to give them. And then, you know, sail on out of there along with Narutaki. Not a word to be said about the whole thing.
On a unicorn.
They should just have a bullet that fires Gokai Silver out of it.
What else is the more distilled form of imagination than that?
That's Ikari Gai Soul.
Anyway, so they blow up the clock shadow and...
Wait, Ken.
Yes.
Gai Ikari Soul, pull it out of your ass. Yes. You may continue now.
Okay, so Clock Shadow blows up. Salaman shows up and absorbs his power and that of the half-dead crows around him. And they form...
Ultimate form, Salaman's.
it's Salaman's liner form.
Yes, and it's like it's like so intentionally bad that one of the crow's arms is just like pushing against the side of the train car. And you can see it poking out.
It's the most unspeakably awesome thing.
I like how the ranger, all the rangers are like, What is that? Pretending to be a train? Tokichi's just taking a stride, like, okay, let's go.
Now, here's the thing. I'm worried that the stuff of this mecha fight that we saw in the previews was going to be all we were going to get of it. I'm so glad to be wrong.
Well, see, they actually, on the credit of the fact that Tokichi has such a short ending and not much room to do much with it, and they kept the format of it, so they were only able to show little bits and pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So, summon Kyuujin and Tokuo, and this fight is a thing. I'm not really sure how to even describe it because then
it's a delight.
Then Akira,
it's in cardboard form.
Akira transformed. Mind you, still with Baby Uchi around him,
right?
You know, summons the build, you know, the build Russia, and then all the other, you know, dinosaurs come in, and then you know they both form their ultimate formations, and it's one of the things that was missing from, you know, Kyuujin versus GoBusters, and that the mecha actually got the fight together. As opposed to, you know, just, you know, main Lio showing up for, you know, 5 seconds and giving them a shield.
And basically just showing off the remade Daijujin suit.
Right.
For a few seconds because they didn't have the budget to make a shitty CGI model for him as well.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, the initial attacks don't... quite work. So what they do is they trade. Tokyo Rainbow gets batteries shoved into it, and what is that form called for Kyuujin?
Gigan Kyuujin.
Yeah.
Gigan Kyuujin has all the trains shoved in it in place of batteries.
It's a cluster duck of cluster ducks.
Yes, it is.
It's kind of amazing. I also displays how, you know, Tokyo Rainbow would work without anything plugged into it. But, you know!
Right. That's an important thing to note.
So they destroy the monster, and then everybody's celebrating.
They shoot the monster in the back as the monster's trying to run away.
Yes, they do. They do.
Okay, yeah, but remember, you know, half of this combined team is also the ones that use the police train they had to, you know, unjustly arrest and then execute a monster, so it fits the pattern. Yes. Is what I'm saying.
So, okay, the Tokyujin are back to normal, as they can be, and then Uchi gets back to normal as well. Only he's straddling Akira in his cockpit
and still crying.
Hey, look, the blade porno. Yeah,
still crying, still with the pacifier.
Yes, like that is somebody's.
That's a metaphor for an oral fixation.
Mm-hmm. Metaphor. Oh.
Anyway,
metaphor.
That was a good versus movie. What's next week?
And then we hit the middle part of O's.
Oh, I'm saving that. Yes. It's not quite Ken's despair, but yeah, there's merit.
It's Ken's rage.
It's a good. Yeah. It's the silver medal.
Okay, so anyway, everybody gets blasted by... Everybody gets blasted by Debius. I like how Akira is still just calling Uchi gold. Because he can't say it either.
Well, now remember, this is still Akira from before he had his epiphany and, you know...
This is what he was still calling the Tokijers.
Right.
Right. So anyway,
this is when he was still keeping a distance.
Yeah. So, so this was a good movie up until this point. Now we have half a movie to go.
Yeah, that seems strange to me when I was watching it. Also.
Hmm.
But on the upside, all the Kyoryugers have been badly injured.
Is that,
see,
is
that's
that,
great
is,
for you, but not for the one Kyoryuger watcher that is it, me. I'm like, oh, okay.
Is that,
I'll
is
watch
that
the train
too long? Is that too long for an intro quote from Paladin?
We'll give it a try.
Because it seems relevant. I don't know.
So I got a lot more. Comas. I got a lot more flexibility these days with the length of the intro, so I can kind of I can work with it more than I used to.
Okay.
Conductor comes back in and informs the Tokyugers that it's okay. The Kyoryugers are just in comas; they're fine.
You know,
oh,
like
no, they're gonna lose more brain. They're gonna lose more brain cells than they already do.
Oh,
okay. Daigo's coming out of his coma.
You can't lose what Daigo doesn't have.
I'm talking about the others, not Daigo. Daigo's a lost cause.
Yeah.
So that's why Daigo wakes up first.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
He has the least number of brain cells left to lose, so once those are gone, he's just like up and around again.
So at this point, the movie gets kind of weird and introspective, and it drags a little bit in the scene where the Tokyugers are all talking about, you know, what could be and losing the world, and it honestly just kind of feels like they're taking up time.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like things where it's like, shouldn't that you have shifted priorities and had that big fight, about 20 minutes from now?
Yeah, do all this before that.
Like, maybe destroy the clock shadow, but keep Salamans around, then I don't know.
Can we say that the Ninjas were the cause of all this because they came in too early?
Everything in this movie is too early is the problem, actually. And then they have 30 minutes left of stuff. I don't know.
I mean, I kind of saw this coming, actually, because they hadn't even tackled the big boss at that point, so I knew that was a middle-of-the-movie battle.
Yeah,
it's a really good one.
No, it's just like the whole pacing of the first half of the movie feels like it should be the movie unto itself for the replacement of a couple of pieces.
Or the second half would be a bit more interesting. I don't know.
Well, anyway, so this scene feels like it's about 4 minutes too long of being introspective.
It is.
It's about an hour too long.
Damn, Fort Max. Somebody didn't like the movie.
No, I'm saying this entire introspective part, it seems like it goes on for hours.
Yeah.
So Daigo overhears them talking.
And then you had Daigo, yeah, go ahead.
Let's move this along before it gets beyond midnight.
Please. Go.
Okay, so Daigo overhears him, and he sees them in a new light. Yay. His dick's all hard for him now. Great. Groovy.
creepy? Yeah. Did Kyoryugers just pull that way?
Okay, meanwhile, elsewhere, Candera. Lucky Cat and Gay Girl Candera. Are all...
Lucaria and Candelera.
Poisandra, yeah.
Okay, yes.
She's much too nice to be Poisandra.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing they turned good at the end of Kyoryuger.
They turned good before the end of
Kyoryuger.
Yeah.
In the end, they become good and, you know, they just help anyone out, which is nice.
And I think Candelera is actually the replacement mentor character in the 100 Years After V Cinema.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Huh.
Aww.
So probably not where they're going. Yeah, probably not where they're going in Dino Charge.
No, I don't think so.
No.
I mean, you never know, but probably not.
So, they're out there helping. In quotes.
Well, it comes back later.
Mm. Yes. At the station, they're loading a giant train-sized battery content to Tokyo number one. Mm.
Which they just got somewhere.
Yes.
Because apparently the ghost of Torin's past has come to visit President.
Right. Uh-huh. But then we get a cameo from the best monsters ever.
No, it's just his ghost, because, spoiler, he dies.
Yes, he does. And that was sad.
Yes, but more importantly, the chair and table shadows.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they do recognize and several other of the bonkies.
Yeah, we got Death Chain Bunky, and...
It doesn't matter, though. We got Table and Chair back.
Yeah, Table and Chair.
It's like, we know they're the best monsters. I think they know they were the best monsters as well.
You have to think that, like, of all the monster suits they made, those were probably the favorite on the production side.
So they use them in... Yes. They use them in a couple of episodes, too.
Yeah.
So we actually get a pretty nice little flying train CGI battle that's fairly complex and well animated.
It is. That movie budget.
Yeah.
Now, I like the part with the Dark Liners, like, constricting around the Tokyo trains, like, you know, snakes.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, Akira found yet another place to die.
Of course.
As he does.
He is wont to do.
Mm-hmm.
So as Big Baddie starts to wake up, Wright takes his battery-powered train and breaks on through the purple jello mold.
Oh, you forgot the other thing. Or maybe that comes later, but when Uchi shows up, so I'll join you in dying here. No, I'm dying here. You die over there.
It's his place, damn it! He doesn't want to share.
So, Wright is joined by Daigo. Dark, go ahead.
No, nothing.
Uh-oh.
You ruined his pacing.
It's okay. It's Daigo and Wright sharing dialogue while just the monster's just like sitting there listening in.
As they stand in that one cave kind of place they always use.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, to be fair, the monster's legs haven't woken back up yet. They're still asleep.
Yes. Very important.
Yes.
And if he comes trying to get them now, he's just going to fall over on his face.
That'd be funny, though.
Yeah. The right, evil god of creation just face plants.
The evil god of creation is falling.
As versus movies are wont to do.
Mm-hmm.
We get a particularly terrible two pinks and one yellow fight sequence, which is just uninspired as hell.
Yeah.
Although the lead up to them grouping together is kind of good because they go back to Kiryu Black being a creepy, creepy asshole.
That's good.
Yeah.
Mm.
And we get a brief shot of the dino bike, which I guess they still have one of those that's working.
They sent the other one to Saban.
They removed the articulation from the wheels.
Now I just imagine Toei sabotaging the stuff they send to Saban. Make sure you have a long straight road ahead of you. No reason.
While Wright and Daigo are fighting Debius, we get Hyper Tokyo and Wright getting knocked on his ass. So, but still, he takes his big ass shotgun and is going to fire it anyway, which is pretty.
He gets knocked on his ass when like both him and Debius point blank each other in the chest.
Yeah.
Which is kind of awesome.
It is.
He's channeling Lightspeed Rescue a little bit here.
Yeah, a little bit. It seems like a right thing to do, honestly.
What, stupid?
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
but then Daigo transforming into Carnival real quickly makes the best use
real
of Carnival
quickly.
And once it gets shot up.
Now look, I like Carnival.
So do I, actually.
Me too.
It's better than Hyper Tokyo.
This is my main disappointment with how they did this, because they totally could have taken the solid parts of Carnival off the Kyuri Red suit, put them on Tokyo 1 suit, and vice versa. Yeah, let them switch their ultimate powers so they could actually, you know, use them and work together.
That might have actually been kind of cool.
Yeah, instead of just using, like, because like I said, I like Carnival. I would like to see Carnival in action again in some capacity. And, like, bonus point, if they could have taken the arms off of Tokyo and strapped mm-hmm. them onto the suit the same way they did with Carnival and Kyoryu, you're using basically the Zord arms.
Right.
There's a missed opportunity here where they just load another battery into the hypercannon.
Right, they could have done...
They have an actual Kyoryu Jiresha. They got it back in their team-up movie.
No, they do use the Kyoryu Jiresha. That's what he loads into it.
No, but they could have done so much more with this part of the fight and, you know, made it a lot more interesting. And given all the time they spent getting to this point, there's no real reason they shouldn't have.
That's true. They spend a lot of time and then that's the result.
Right.
Okay, they could have done something more interesting with it.
Devil's Advocate, I think it's mildly interesting that they both use their super forms for like a half a second and that's not the focus of the fight.
It is interesting in one
show. They dismantle pretty quickly. That doesn't happen.
Right.
Now, the thing about I do like is that we have finished the monster off, finished the villain off, untransformed completely. Just with the guns.
Yeah,
that's pretty badass.
Yeah, it is. No, I'm just like, since half the push of this movie is them sharing their powers so that they can fight each other's monsters.
That would have made sense.
It just felt like something that was missing thematically that they didn't at least briefly swap their super forms.
Yeah, I'll agree to that.
Okay. Yeah. That's all I'm coming from with this, and I can totally see your side of this, especially, you know, yeah, Wright finishes off the monster with a super gun while he's not even transformed, and yeah, no, I mean,
I super totally... modes are not a crutch that helps them win
right.
in this mode.
Yeah, right. No, I mean, yeah, I'm totally with you on what you're saying, too.
Right. But anyway, so monster's down. But of course, since this is Sentai, he subsequently grows giant size and blows everybody on their asses. But that's okay.
And then the best part of the movie.
I will agree. Yes. So suddenly, the rest of the Kyuriugers arrive.
Hooray!
Cyan, Gray, Silver, and...
Cyan,
Gray, Silver, and Violet. But Cyan not just
changed since the last time I saw him.
Yes, this is Cyan and Silver V2.
It's Jasmine from
Gray V2.
It's a noble
bright gray.
Everyone except Violet changed.
Well, no,
Violet changed first.
Well, yeah, she changed first, of course, but you know what I mean.
But yeah, all those powers all changed hands throughout the course of the series, correct?
Yes.
Right. Cyan is Kyuriu Blue's older sister. So they show up, but then that's not all, because so does the Shadow Line. And then Nero tries so hard
to join in the roll call.
I know I don't watch Tokyuger, but it's just absolutely adorable seeing Nero do that.
This is the only thing Nero has ever done.
Yeah, basically.
Nero just so badly wants to belong.
Yeah, it's like Granny Goodness and Zed and Noir are all like...
No.
we're not doing that.
And then the best line of the whole movie, when they say to Debius, "You have made an enemy out of literally everyone on Earth." even these assholes who want to kill us on a daily basis hate you now, and would rather help us than see you win.
And if,
maybe
it really
you
does
have set their house on fire.
And it does feel fitting for Zed in the Shadow Line in general. It makes me wonder and hope that Zed crops up again in the Ninja versus Tokyuger somehow. Hopefully in a way that's better than Enter Vid last year.
Yeah.
Usually the older team's villain comes back as the main bad for versus movies, it seems like. Not always, but...
Especially if it's a human villain. In this case, Kyuriger didn't have any human villains. So.
No, it's just, yeah.
No, but like, just this one part of this to me, redeemed the 15 minutes in the middle where it was really, like, middle of O's.
Yeah, it feels weirdly weird pacing, but
there is a payoff.
If you can get through, like, that 20 minutes or more.
Hours and hours, according to Fort Max. No, but, like, there is various levels of payoff to that.
Right, right.
So, I mean, no matter what you're looking for out of this, you do get something out of sitting through that.
And speaking of getting something, we also get a team roll call, which we also did not get last year, finally, at the very end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which is actually pretty cool.
And I like the Tokyuger's modified roll call, where they're maskless and doing it from frontal view instead of side view.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then the freaking explosions. Holy crap.
Oh, yeah.
Pyro team. Holy shit, dudes.
In the shadow war.
This wasn't Sakamoto.
That seemed like dangerous. Bunch of people on the ground.
He didn't have enough wire work.
Especially for the people standing up on the cliff.
Yeah. Although you realize
they're away from it, and they're at
there's
explosions in front of them and ones behind them.
No, but like they're using a really narrow f-stop, so they get a stronger depth of focus, and it looks like the explosions are a lot closer than they are.
Yes,
probably.
Trust the photographer, Ken.
Okay. It looks. It looks really. I mean.
It does, but that's what makes it cool.
In Sentai, it's hard to be impressed by explosions. That's an impressive explosion.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is. The only thing better would be to like literally set off a mushroom cloud behind them.
I think Japan would balk at that.
Yeah.
Got a little close.
Yeah, no, that'd be more of a Power Ranger thing to do at this point. I concede, but still.
The mushroom cloud feels like the missed opportunity for the 199 hero movie. Because that actually would have stopped the alien invasion.
No. To stop an alien invasion, you upload a computer virus from a Mac.
But anyway, everybody combines their powers with Akira managing to not drop his weapon.
It's a miracle.
And everybody shoots it all at once, shoots Debius all at once, and boom.
That's it.
So that's it.
Oh, everyone did pull a Bioman.
Yeah.
Yay!
So I like the Shadow Monster that was defeated by human-sized people.
Yeah.
A whole lot of them, but yeah. And I just like the concept of like treating the Shadow Line like on the same level as the Rangers.
It was cool.
Yeah, and I think in that final attack, isn't even the Dark Liner in that?
Yes, there were four of them.
It looked like it. Yeah,
there were four of them.
Awesome. Of course, it is a toy they had to sell.
Yeah. And besides which, it makes sense to treat the Shadow Line that way, considering where this came at the actual chronological run of the series.
It was right before Zed murdered half the villain cast, right?
Something like that, I think?
Yeah.
It was, mid-January?
Oh, it might have come after he killed Zed and Schwartz and Noir, then. Because that was right before the series ended.
But Noir's in the movie.
Yeah,
so it takes... So pretend it takes place right before then.
Right.
Because he killed Noir like in December, right? Or early January, I think.
I'm trying to remember now. I mean, there wasn't much time between.
No, there's not much time. But regardless, movie's over.
I actually really disliked a lot, since I know that for the Kuryuger side, like, there was zero dancing except for that one moment where they did. It's
but
like,
oh,
this is a missed
time.
Yeah.
This is like the missed opportunity where you could see Tokyuger's dance for once.
Right.
It was just...
No, right.
Although being that they're 10-year-olds, they ought to be trying to imitate the dance they see the Kyuriugers do.
That would have been funny.
Exactly. Like,
and do
just...
it better.
Now, so everybody knows says goodbye and everything, and Caboose takes a picture of them. And there's one thing I like in this movie. And it's the thing that annoyed me at the end of the GoBuster movie, because he really didn't have any reason, because Hiromu didn't really have any reason to do this. Wright still calls him Daigo. That's not necessarily a disrespectful thing, but it's just like, that was just one aspect of the character that just rubbed me way wrong. And Ian, why are you blowing a freaking kiss? God damn. You know they're 10!
That's just his thing. I don't, yeah, that's
he really knows they're 10.
Yeah. Being creepy is his thing.
I know,
because...
Yeah. No. Not in the show, he's not creepy. He's just absolutely
he
like
he is.
Now
Unless he's like a Kiss player's character in like real life.
Yeah, yeah.
What? No. He doesn't carry the penis tongue.
But anyway,
how do you know?
It was an odd movie. There was some it was really good for a while, and then
really boring, and then pretty good again
for like 5 minutes. But then you get like 30 minutes in between there.
I felt it only dragged for about 10 minutes, but I mean, I enjoyed so much of it anyway. I think definitely it's one of the better Versus movies I've seen.
The big dragging point was, you know, the extended shot of the Kyoryugers in the infirmary, comatose and everything, and the rooftop introspection.
Yeah,
that was just
that and the single, when it got down to the single, like, color battles, they were just kind of little.
Those were mostly just boring.
Mm-hmm. That, and that's
which,
a problem.
Which, or, well, okay, like, they were uninspired, I guess I should say, because
compared to what they had for the movie.
Yeah. But the whole rooftop scene, that really seems like a director's cut nonsense that should have been cut out entirely.
Or, again, just something placed in a different spot in the movie. Because it breaks the flow of the action really
badly.
Yeah,
it's like, there's a lot of good elements in there. It's just like the pacing of where they plug them into the plot is a little...
Like, as much fun as the giant cardboard train costume monster was, you know, that probably should have either been shoved until right before the last battle, the last 5 minutes of the movie, or just omitted altogether.
Have them take that out, then Debius grows giant size and knocks the mechas, you know, apart, and then, oh crap,
right.
Now we're screwed.
That
and
probably
then, and then you
better.
Get... Then the Spirit Rangers and the Shadow Line show up and you get the same outcome.
Right.
Of course, the problem with that is they don't de-age until he's destroyed.
Well, you could do that just by having them de-age once they destroy Clock Shadow the first time.
True. Yeah, that would work.
Salamence takes his power so he doesn't grow, and then he grows later on because he feels like it. That works.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, no. You know, I kind of question if the whole point of this movie was to break
formula?
The traditional tropes.
Yeah, sure. I can see that.
I mean, I also like that there is that introspective moment with the Tokyougers where, you know, basically for however much of the series has happened before this, they've been fighting but never really had a concept of, you know, the world could end if we don't do this right.
Right.
It's not until something comes up that literally says, I'm going to end your world right now or tomorrow, whatever.
That is true. It's just, I guess the placement of it is what threw me.
It is.
Looking back at it, you have a good point.
The narrative element of it, of actually making them stop and realize there is a much bigger picture than just, you know, stopping the Shadow Line from taking single towns and finding their home again.
Right.
No, I mean, that's something that I think is probably important to have them come to terms with at some point, even if it had to be in a Versus movie like this.
Well, and then if you look at it in the context of, say, placing it right before the whole throwdown with Akira just switching sides and whatnot.
Yeah.
I could see where that works into the context of the series narrative as well.
Yeah. Well, I like that in terms of how it helps develop the characters of the Tokyougers. It's just badly placed within the movie.
Right. That makes sense.
I agree with Mickey. I mean, it is almost director's cut kind of stuff in that it really breaks the flow of the overall story, and the original presentation probably should not have had that to such length as it did.
And that's where I was dreading summarizing it at first. It's like, okay, I'm going to be really excited about 30 minutes in. Okay.
Well, and to be honest, I kind of expected that, and that's why I had you and Mickey alternate on it.
Okay.
Plus, like, you two did that for something a few weeks ago, and it turned out really good, so...
Which was Tokyuger.
I couldn't remember, because, like, everything runs together after a while.
I'm pretty sure it was Tokyuger, because we were the only ones that liked it the whole way through.
Okay.
Yeah. No, while you guys were, like, talking, I actually was looking into the chronological order of how this movie was, considering that Noir was alive.
Right.
And it was, like, so... Based on this movie, based on how when Noir was alive and before she died, this does date before the whole Kamen Rider Taizen movie.
No, Noir died like in the late 40s, like in January or so. No, early 40s.
Apparently it's December.
December, yeah.
Yeah.
But Kamen Rider Tyson
was released in March.
Now, when was this
last year? Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you're right, actually.
Of last year.
I thought it was
That still makes no sense.
How did they get two?
The latest in the series this could really take place is right before the movie studio episode.
Or right after. It has to be before Akira changed sides, basically.
Right.
Christmas, actually. Oh, yeah, that was it. Akira changed sides at Christmas because there was a
Right.
Christmas.
Yeah, because cheerful.
Yeah, and then all that happened at Christmas, and then they had the whole Christmas. Yeah, they died at Christmas. That's right.
Yeah. Overall, there still should not have been a Kuryu Ressha in that movie. Tyson, I mean.
Yeah, that was.
Well, that's true, but for completely different reasons than you probably have for that.
my entire reason was, why is Daigo upstaging Dino in a Kamen Rider movie? But
exactly,
because Daigo.
You have two trains. You have a train. Sentai. Why is it Dino Sentai?
Because I like the concept of, you know, Tokuo showing up and taking on the big monster, teaming up with Dino. That's an awesome concept, and then it just kind of.
Yeah, I know. And that really sucked.
After they hint that, you know, the Shadow Line's been spending the whole movie, you know, running Dino ragged.
Exactly, because, like, I like Kuryuger, I like Dino, but that was kind of, like, the one thing that I didn't like.
Yeah, it's not,
it's just inappropriate.
Yeah, it's because, yeah. And then they decided to make, to
run. Whoa, I can't hear a thing that Fort Max is saying. I see.
Oh, good, I was afraid that was just me.
I hear sounds, but not words.
Fort Max, come back to us.
No, walk to the line, Fort Max.
Hello?
Fort Max, Hello? You have so much left to live for.
Well, not really, but don't.
Fort Max, your work is not done. Keep waiting.
Okay, I think he's back. Now, what were you saying? What were you saying about Daigo and?
I was saying, well, it's probably part of it was, of course, because of how the toys were, but then just rubbing it in with Dedo initially forming the head.
Right. Yeah. There is a jab in there towards the movie's title where it is Tokuo featuring Dino, as opposed to his Kamen Rider Tyson featuring Super Sentai. I can see the joke they're going for, but it doesn't work.
Simultaneously, like, that would have been excused if Tokuo finished with a Rider kick.
It would have.
Using the Dino shoes.
See, yeah.
Like, that would have excused the whole thing. That would have made it make thematic sense. It didn't, and it just kind of shit all over everything.
Yeah.
But that's another movie.
Yeah.
Which we already examined at length.
This was awful. This year is only going to be Ninja and a whole lot of Drive.
Also next week.
Awful. Well, Drive is.
Also next week.
Oh.
Well, look on the bright side, though. Maybe Movie Wars will be better than Drive the series. Because remember, the Movie War with Wizard in it was actually better than Wizard the series by a good measure.
Because they spent, you know, half of it trying to murder him.
That was Tyson.
Tyson Z, yes.
Yeah, I'm talking about Movie Wars.
Oh, you mean the... Oh, which one are you talking about? The guy?
Which one? There's, like, so many.
Oh my god, this conversation.
Which Movie Wars have Wizard in them?
The Tyson? One where the sound effect is in the gun, not the guy in memory.
Huh?
What?
My hatred is in the basement.
Excuse me, you're not making any sense.
My hatred is right here and right now.
Oh. My hatred is in the trigger magnum.
For Magnum, in you.
The power chamber.
No, seriously, which one are you talking about? The one with Forze or the one with Gaim?
With Forze.
Oh, yeah, that's okay.
I never watched...
The Wizard segment of that was better than the Forze segment, so that tells you. Wizard segment and the Gaim one was better than the Gaim segment, which is weird.
I still have actually not watched the Gaim Movie Wars, so...
You have not missed anything.
Yeah, that's basically why I haven't bothered. Like, I might someday, but I'm not in any real hurry. Anyway, speaking
to do with your time.
Speaking of a real hurry, since we did a movie-ish, this has run late. We should probably end.
Yeah,
next week.
Actually, I saw you up work at 6 in the morning.
Right.
We have a full plate next week. So.
Yeah. So, Christina, thank you for joining us.
Yay.
At your own request. So, actually, I retract that. So, Christina, I hope your request has been satisfied, and you know.
We hope you've learned your lesson.
Yeah.
No, seems I knew unlikely. What I was doing. I knew what I was doing because, you know, covering this movie. It's like, oh, okay.
Hey, you're the one who asked to do this, so you have only yourself to blame.
Hey, because you have no one that watched Kuduchir from beginning to end, and I did, so.
And maybe Ken. Maybe we can blame Ken also, but mostly you only have yourself to blame.
It's okay.
Also, Ken, drink that oil.
Yes, especially Ken.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Go to tokupodcast.com for show notes and to listen to previous episodes. Find us on iTunes or download our Android app at tfradio.net/android. Follow us on Twitter for show updates, weekly power playback, and more at superhero_time. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production.
I'm also curious if ejaculation has enough force to blow you backwards in space.
That probably depends on the individual a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, maybe for you.
Well, then.
It probably also relates to how much work you've put into it.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen the streams of water that can cut through granite, right?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Modest over here, aren't we?
Well, at least you have something to fall back on if the funeral home thing doesn't work out. Professional stone jizzer.
Superhero Time! 次回もよろしく!
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.